Nexus Church is all about cultivating an authentic Christian community where old and young alike journey with Jesus and are transformed by the gospel. May we be challenged and inspired by the power of His Word.
Well, good morning. Be seated. Thanks, Pastor Nathan, and thank you, team. Well done. Well, as Pastor Nathan said, my name's Josh. I've had the privilege of calling this place home for many years, and I guess just a little bit about me, because normally you're used to seeing me doing something back here. And so this is a slightly different mode for us both to explore this morning. Different for me, different for you. But we'll go with it. So a little bit about me. As Nathan said, I am the worship pastor here. And it's a great privilege, a great honor to actually serve alongside and to worship together with you. It really is. But alongside the team, it's a great honor to worship alongside them as well. So I honor the team as well for this morning. My wife here is on the front row. Her name's Africa, and we've been married for a number of years. And attached to her is our newborn king. His name's Shepherd. King is my surname. He's a couple months old, and our daughter, Zinnia, is in the room with family at the moment. And hopefully she's listening. Keep listening and playing. Do both at the same time. And I came to the school here for high school. So Northside has a very special place in my heart. But actually this campus does. And I loved it so much that I had to come back and teach at the college as well for a couple of years before stepping into the role I'm in now with the church. But very much love this place. And as Nathan alluded before, there's many different, with the amount of people in this room, there's many different expressions of worship. There's many different applications of worship. And to be honest, they're all really valid. Your favorite way of worshiping, your favorite worship song, your favorite style of music, whatever that is, it's really valid. So I just want to, I guess, validate that right now. I'm not here to tell you that your preference is wrong. That's not what I am here to do. And your favorite way, or the way perhaps you grew up, may be that there was a choir on stage, or there was just one person down the front who happened to also be the preacher, or maybe, you know, you've always had the two fast songs and the two slow songs, whatever that is, you know, just different expressions of what we do when we gather, this commonality that we share when we gather, and this corporate expression, to use the word worship, or even the word offering, which I'll be using through this sermon, to use the word offering, I'm referring to our corporate expression. And even the word worship has many applications. You know, it could be greeting on the door. It could be the moment we just had in tithes and offerings. That is of worship to the Lord. It could be the moments you have on your own in the car, or, you know, maybe at home in your secret place, you close the door. Whatever it looks like for you, those moments just between yourself and the Lord, that is worship too. And yet there's another mode, another layer, that when we gather, it's different. When we gather, there's actually a commonality that we share under Jesus and all that He's done for us. And so too, there's a commonality in our worship. It's not my worship. It's not your worship. It's our worship, and we each play a part. So that's where we're going a little bit this morning. And that's what I mean if I'm using the word offerings going about this morning. I'm referring to our corporate expression of worship. And just before we pray, I do just want to honor Pastor Nathan and Beck, you both for trusting me with this space, and both for the trust to lead and serve the church through that corporate expression is a great honor and a great privilege, and I don't take it lightly. But then also this morning for being trusted with this space, yeah, I don't take it lightly. So thank you. I honor you both. And then do just want to honor the Lord, because we can't even open this if it weren't for Him. So Lord, we welcome You in this place. And that's actually how I see a lot of what I get to do as a worship pastor. And in Psalm 84, it talks about, oh, to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. That's what I see what I get to do, to actually be a doorkeeper and kind of like, hey, come along, welcome on in. Why don't we look at Jesus, look at all He's done. Let's remind ourselves of how amazing He is, how worthy of our worship that He is. So that's what I see a part of what I get to do. But we'll pray and then we'll get into the Word. So Lord, we welcome You in Your house. Lord, that brothers and sisters, we've been unified under your name. We've been brought together in this place, Lord. And it's not about the building. It's actually about the commonality we share as brothers and sisters in Christ, a new family. And Lord, we even sense that you're calling us, you're inviting us deeper. You're calling us to be formed, to be charged, to be something greater than we could be on our own, Lord God. So Lord, would your word just go out in power? Would it be like a sword that goes forth and does what it needs to do, Lord Jesus? We honor you in this place. Amen. So turn with me to Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. This is rounding out our church series. And so I'm going to read now from verse 19, a temple for the Lord. So this is Paul. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners, or aliens, another translation would say. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, is Christ himself. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. So this was Paul from prison. So he was imprisoned at this time writing to the church of Ephesus. And Ephesus was where modern day Turkey is today. At that time was this epicenter of pagan worship. The Greek gods, the Roman gods, this people group had been reached by Paul. And it was quite a transformational thing to happen in a city like this, where worship was almost to everything except the Lord. And so Paul is writing this letter to the church of Ephesus, where perhaps they were the church that this letter wasn't actually addressing any issues per se. And yet there's more of a charging, a calling, a vision casting of, hey, be this. You can be this within your context. And of course, remembering that place had been very familiar with the day-to-day of going to the temple or whatever that would mean for each individual culture or belief or false god. These people were accustomed to this type of lifestyle of worship. And so for this newly formed church, brothers and sisters, it was Jew and Gentile coming together, and the Lord had actually created a new family, a new people group that was no longer defined as Jew and Gentile, but actually a new family under the Father and under all that Jesus had done. And so this word, the use of this word temple, wasn't foreign to them, but Paul's throwing it out there to get them thinking, because they're like, oh yeah, I understand what it means to be a temple, but it's not what we think. Paul's actually alluding to something far, far deeper and far more long-lasting. So he's painting this picture of a temple. And within a temple, we have many functions as to why a temple would exist. And we'll get into that in just a second. But the first point of this is about our offerings. And our offerings are motivated by worth. Our offerings are motivated by worth. So again, referring to offerings, it's specifically for today, we're talking about our context in corporate worship. I'm not making a comment or any sort of allusion as to other churches. This is specifically what I feel is referring for our house. So our offerings are motivated by worth. A quick story. So a couple of months before Shepherd came along, we found some mold in our house, and there was a leak in our bathroom, our sole bathroom. And as you do, investigate it. And we had to demolish it and actually go about renovating this bathroom. And of course, look at me, like I'm the kind of person that renovates all the time, obviously, as you can tell, and same for us. No, so this was, and I can look around the room and see a couple of people that have actually helped out with it, for which I'm very grateful. But this renovation, which is still taking place, the aim was to have a shower before Shepherd was born. And thankfully we got there, we got to the finish line. But it's still a work in progress. But this idea of what the finished product of the bathroom is, I can see it in my mind. We've planned it and we can see what it's going to become. And yet it's not quite there, but it's a work in progress. And I love the, even just thinking about, okay, here's the moment, I've walked in, it's finished, I can show people. There's not going to be any sort of celebration of the workers who contributed to it, or certainly not their preferences or their ideas about like, oh, this should have been that, or maybe if they did this instead. You're just going to walk in and appreciate, oh, there's a bathroom here. Great. You're not going to have a second thought. And perhaps, or hopefully, there's going to be some craftsmanship in there that is to be admired. But it's not about the individual in that. It's about the function. Well, what's the point of a bathroom? We all understand that. And it's the same with the temple, this same idea that being formed together isn't for the sake of you and I being formed, but there's a higher calling, a charge that the Lord would actually be hosted well, that the Lord would actually be invited, that he would dwell amongst us, that he would be attracted to this place, that he would be glorified, that he'd be honored, and that actually we'd just be able to enjoy his presence. And it's so much more than just a building. The temple that Paul is referring to is actually this forming of us as a people group. And it's becoming far more than what we could be on our own. So we need to think about who we're hosting and even why we're hosting him. Who we're hosting and why we're hosting him. We need to embrace our role as the temple. We're each responsible, where we're each responsible for actually reminding our own souls both that he is worthy and why he is worthy. So as part of, okay, how am I formed into a temple, brothers and sisters? Okay, but how do we become this? Perhaps one of the first steps along the way is to be reminding ourselves, doing the part that we can do, that he's worthy. Reminding ourselves that our offerings are motivated by worth. And this is a part that we need to play. And perhaps in a sense, I'm going to teach you how to be a worship leader, but not that, you know, Pastor Andy's going to end up here leading you in worship next week. The way I use that term is actually we need to learn how to lead ourselves in worship. You and I need to learn how to lead ourselves in worship so that it's not necessarily dependent on external factors that we can't control, whatever those are. And hopefully a worship leader, an actual one on here on stage, only then encourages and you know, gets us further along. But we need to learn how to be a worship leader of one, to lead ourselves in worship. And the way to do that is to just be quick to see Jesus amongst the confusion or amongst the frustration, amongst perspectives and opinions and preferences. Whatever it is, we've just been singing about it all morning. We need to be quick to see Jesus, because if we lose Jesus, there's other things that are vying for our attention. So reminding our own souls, that's the responsibility of one. I can't do that for you. You can't do that for me. We can encourage one another, of course. But I think there's even a moment now of accepting, oh yeah, yeah, I need to actually lead myself in this. I need to be doing this over and over again. And again, we're talking about when we gather, but this applies outside of this place as well. But every time we gather, to be leading ourselves to that place. Maybe it's when you're getting ready. Maybe it's when you're driving in. Maybe it's whatever it is for you. There's a way to be leading oneself. And there's a song that I think just perfectly sums this up called When I Think About the Lord. And I love what this song does because it puts to words that exact thing of leading oneself. And so this was a song that I don't actually remember ever learning. And it was up here and up here, but I'm not sure how it got there, but I know it. And I think it was probably one of those things that when you're growing up and maybe it was on in the car, you know, being picked up after school or whatever it was, but it's a song that has stuck with me for some reason. And we're actually going to sing it now, or I'm going to sing it, and please sing along if you know it. But I think it so perfectly encapsulates this whole idea. So here we go.
Yeah. When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost,
or Holy Spirit.
How He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up, turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank You Jesus, Lord, You're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank You Jesus, Lord, You're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. The glory and all the honor and all the praise, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank You, Lord. He's worthy. Amen. He's pretty worthy. Yes. We need to be quick to see Jesus, yes, and to lead ourselves to that place. So our offerings are motivated by worth. Second point, our offerings should cost us something. Good. Our offerings should cost us something. And speaking about cost and worth, you know, we've got two under two, and we're very much living and loving and laughing our way through the two under two life and all of that brings. But as it goes, there's baby items and then there's just regular everyday items. And, you know, you could be walking down any shop, it really doesn't matter, but you can find the same item in the baby aisle and it's just way, way more expensive. For whatever reason, baby branded and it's specialized and built and designed for babies, maybe by babies, but the same item. And so that's where this is going, in that it's not worth any more. And perhaps in a contrasting way, worth is associated to cost. And an item of no worth would likely have no cost. And similarly, a person or a being of infinite worth, of ultimate, unending worth in the Lord, deserves and beckons or invites something costly. And that's what we're invited into. We're invited into bringing an offering that is costly. And this very word worship is actually derived from two words being worth-ship. And so we're speaking about worth. We know we need to remind ourselves that the Lord is worthy. But then, well, how do I do that? What does that look like? Am I doing it right? Does it have to be the way he or she does it? What about the way I feel like I need to do it? How do I even bring a costly offering? All these ideas and questions, which we'll have a look at. But to bring something of worth to the Lord is just to ascribe worthiness to him. And so I want my offerings to be costly because he's worthy of it. And we're invited to do the same. We're invited to bring him something that actually only the Lord and you know about. Only you and he know what that cost you in that moment because of what you're walking through, what I'm walking through. And so offerings in our context is anything sacrificial. It's anything that costs you something. And It's not ignoring what's going on. It's not pushing down and pretending. And so whatever the feelings are, whatever we've walked in with, it's certainly not to pretend that they're not there, that that's not happening, but it's actually to bring something sacrificial in spite of feelings, to actually bring something sacrificial in spite of my own pride, whatever reason I would find to not bring it, in spite of my own dignity, that nothing is going to stop me from bringing this offering to the Lord. And it's not, I'm not trying to downplay the situations and seasons we walk through, because in a room this size, there's stories, there's hardship, there's trials that each of us either are walking now or have walked or will walk. And it's certainly not to downplay those either. It's actually, hey, I'm in this season. And so I have a rare moment, because I won't be here forever. I have a rare moment to bring this offering that's pretty costly. I'm going to have to sacrifice something here, because actually I don't really want to bring it right now. All through the Psalms, we see there's these turning points. And often a psalm would start with feelings of lament and, oh, woe is me, or Lord, where have you gone? You've abandoned me, and look at this and look at that, and my life has become this. But there's always this turning point in the Psalms where, oh, yet will I praise you. Wow. Oh, my soul, to praise his holy name. Yet will I praise you. And we need to find our yet will I praise you. Because it's again, not ignoring what's happening. It's actually in the midst of, because the Lord sees it. And that's why it's an invitation to bring that sacrificial offering in that moment. And I like to think about it as a mountaintop and a valley. And so over here, you know, we're up on the mountain and we've trekked up and we've made the long journey to the top, the mountain of life, perhaps, whatever that journey was that you had to ascend a mountain. And we're here and, oh, life's good. Things are in a good place. My family, maybe it's my kids, maybe it's my job or study, whatever it is. Oh, I can actually see all you've done, Lord. I can look back and see, yep, we walked this together. I can praise you. You're actually worthy of the praise because your word was true. Your word is true. And you were faithful like you said you would be. And so, yeah, I'm going to praise you, Lord. And that's a victorious praise. That in itself is quite a unique position to be. And of course, we can't help but actually overflow and in gratitude and thanks to the Lord, because we can see all he's done. We can see his hand. And he's the one that actually led us to that point on the mountaintop. But then over here, we're in the valley. We're walking and it's just trudging step by step. Or it's, oh, we're here again. Lord, I thought we walked this. We each have this story. We're each walking a version of this right now. I'm quite confident of that. But what a rare moment we have. Because we'll be on the mountain again at some point. There's mountaintop moments, but we can't live from mountaintop to mountaintop. It's actually on that dusty road of life that's been preached about many times from this platform. In that valley moment, Lord, you're here with me. And I don't feel like it. But I've got to praise you. Because this moment is fleeting. This moment, what a costly offering. What an opportunity actually I have in this, in spite of this moment, not pretending, not ignoring. And yet there's a speaking to our own souls, of course, a leading of ourselves to praise him and to see Jesus. So what makes an offering costly? It's that he knows it costs you something. And very, very practically, it's not just this, but very practically, perhaps when we've gathered, it's moving from to a, oh Lord, and you do the fist pumps in the air. And then it moves to even more of a, oh yeah, Lord, you are worthy. And I'm reminding myself. But imagine if we got to that place of having reminded ourselves even before we gathered, becoming this temple, being formed, yes, brothers and sisters, but now being charged in purpose to become a temple, a place that would actually host the very Lord himself. And I can't do that myself. You can't do that yourself. But the sum in Christ and by his Spirit, the sum of us together when we gather, it's not the building that he resides in. It's you and I. It's our gathering, our forming as a temple. And he knows what our offerings cost us. Our offerings, while they are ours to bring, that just aren't about us. And again, using the word offering, I guess loosely-ish, but applying it to our corporate expression now and to speak, I guess, more focused towards that. Our offerings aren't about us. And though there's a important participation in which we're invited into. So we play a part, of course. It's not just this idle thing that happens or this passive thing that happens. Of course, you and I individually are also temples that host the Lord. And so not so much referring to that or commenting on that, but this temple, this gathering that we are when we gather. And this could refer to, actually I'll go there in a second, but perhaps this morning even, there have been moments, I know I've had moments of, that wasn't necessarily my preference, or, interesting, right? Whatever that is. We each actually have opportunities to allow ourselves to be distracted or discouraged by these things, because the truth is, when we gather, it's not perfect. It's not meant to be perfect. And the thing that actually, the one that unifies us and charges us to become this temple, to become this place that could host the Lord himself, is the Lord. It's by his Spirit and by all that Christ has done, all who Christ is. That's the only way. And so perhaps even this morning, you're thinking like, oh yeah, like this guy's doing it right. You know, kind of prefer it when he's doing that. And when's Nathan going to be back? But, and I'm wondering the same thing too. No, but these very things, we allow our preferences to be elevated. We allow our preferences to actually end up on a pedestal, whether we meant to or not. And they're not bad things. None of these things are bad things, but the place for them to be really dialed in is outside of the corporate space, outside of the corporate gathering. And the truth is, the moment we walk through these glass doors, we're actually each one laying down our preferences. I'm laying down, hey, this is my favorite way or my favorite song or whatever it might be. We're laying it down to actually then pick up this shared commonality we have in Christ. And of course, somewhere along the line, there's a musical style that we end up playing because of the song that we chose, because we believed in the song. So there's some sort of musical decision that has to be made along the way. But it's not that one is better than the other. It's not that that song or these three songs this morning were better than every other song. So we need to be actually aware and conscious of whatever that distraction is, whatever that, probably a barrier is a better word, whatever barrier I'm actually allowing to be elevated to a place that it should never have been elevated to. And our posture, rather than being purely to receive from the Lord, our posture actually, I think first needs to be to exalt him to the place where he, only he, is meant to be. And I've prayed this, I've said this, perhaps you have too, but that prayer of, oh Lord, we're here to receive from you. I'm here to receive from you, God. And of course, there's seasons, so I'm not trying to downplay this. There's definitely seasons of needing that breakthrough, needing the Lord to work in a way that only he can, and actually continue to have faith for these things. But my default posture can't be upon walking in and becoming this temple. My default posture can't be, I'm waiting here, waiting to receive something. The second I walk through the glass doors, I actually need to know, this is the offering that I'm bringing. Regardless of whether I receive something today, this is the offering and this is what it costs me, and I'm going to bring it, and I'm going to remind my own soul to continue bringing it because it's going to be hard. I'm not going to feel like doing it. But the reverse posture of being here ready to receive, the interesting thing is that actually when we exalt the Lord to the place that is only his, by his kindness, by his mercy and grace and his love for us, he actually blesses us. He actually shifts that perspective. He brings that moment of breakthrough, or he charges you with, I can go again. I have faith to just keep on keeping on running the race with the Lord. When he's exalted to his rightful place in our context, when we worship him. we find, oh yeah, Lord, you're good. You've blessed me. I actually have all that I need in you. And whether I were to receive from you or not, you're worthy. So we must purpose to keeping Jesus central to our offering, central to our corporate worship. You know, recently I had the opportunity to, across a few days, be led in worship and a number of services and a number of gatherings. But I had the privilege to actually be able to be a congregant across these couple of days. And having entered into this space, it caught me a little off guard because how reversed the roles now were. And I had this this moment with the Lord, or perhaps maybe only with myself, of lament, of, ah, what's happening there? Oh, well, that's not how we do it at Nexus. And actually felt the Lord be like, oh, hang on. You're going to allow these things to stop you from bringing your offering to me? An offering that's so personal, just between me and the Lord, and yet, of course, when we gather, He dwells. So that is still, that's still true. But my offering is the offering that only I can bring. So why would I let that thing, maybe it was, maybe it's a Planet Shakers song, or maybe you don't love Bethel music, or maybe it's, oh, you know what, I actually prefer that worship leader, or, you know, when they do this song instead of that one, that's when the anointing falls and that's when the presence comes. And there's always, if we're looking for one, there's always going to be a reason to not bring our offering, to not make it costly. If you're looking for a reason, you'll find one. If I'm looking for a reason, I'll find one. There's plenty of distractions. There's plenty of things because we're not perfect. But in Christ and through His work, we're formed and we're invited to actually become a dwelling place for God Himself. And He's attracted to our costly offerings. He's attracted to our costly offerings. You know, Psalm 51, 10, 17 and 19, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. 17, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart that you, O God, will not despise. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous. He delights in our praises. He delights in our offerings because He knows what it costs us. He sees in those moments where, ah, I don't feel like bringing this, Lord, but we're invited to actually not allow that barrier to take the place that is only the Lord's. And even Paul would say, I can't trust my own feelings. Like what's happening between here and here? Hopefully sometimes it's on the right track, but I can't even trust my own feelings. You know, the psalmist, we have psalmists who are just lamenting and down in the dumps and, oh, life is this. But there's always a change moment. There's always that moment of, oh, but yet will I praise you. Oh, my soul, praise His holy name. I'll enter His gates with thanksgiving because that's reminding myself of what He's done because I've got a reason now to be thankful. It's reminding myself of who He is. And then to enter His courts with praise. Oh man, I'm going to charge you into His courts. Nothing's going to stop me bringing this costly offering, bringing this radical offering, whatever it looks like for you, whatever it looks like for me. There's beauty in it looking different because it's about Him. It's about bringing this costly offering before Him. And that's what we're getting at when we sing songs like, I'll praise in the valley, praise on the mountain, right? Or praise the Lord, oh my soul, all that is within me. Praise His holy name, all that's within me. And the culmination of all that is in us is actually the altar that we're to build. The altar on which our sacrifices are then given to the Lord. So we've got to bring it all. We have to bring our whole selves. And I reckon that's the little secret the psalmist knew, that to praise the Lord, O my soul, he was speaking to his own soul. he actually had to have a little talk with himself on the way in because he knew what his flesh was like. He knew what was happening up here and here. Just couldn't actually stop him from bringing his offering in that moment. And we need to grasp hold of this way of living that the psalmist actually, they were clued into, to actually have these turning point moments, have these changing moments where we allow ourselves to become an offering and actually bring something costly to him, because only he's worthy of it. This is Jesus. This is our Jesus. Only he is worthy of such an offering. And it's always been about it. It's always been his. So we need to rise as the church, as the temple being formed. There's a call, there's an invitation to rise together to be a place that the Lord would dwell. And temple, we need to stand. Let's stand even now. There's an opportunity to bring over and over and over again our sacrificial offerings, to not let whatever those barriers are get in the way. And even now, Lord, search our hearts. Whatever it's been, perhaps it's been apathy, or it's been discouragement. Maybe it's been unforgiveness. Maybe it's been preferences and things that we weren't even necessarily aware of. Whatever those burdens are that we've walked in with, it's in and through those moments we're building an offering, building an altar to actually sacrifice for the only one who is worthy. So temple, we've got to sing. We've got to bring what we have, because only he's worthy. And whether we receive from him or not, he's worthy. Whether he does and answers the prayers in the way that we ask, he's worthy. So come on. Lord, return to us the joy of our salvation. Lord, that deep inside we would find a bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Praise and bless his holy name. Come on, so we're going to sing and things are going to fall off. We're breaking off the burdens, breaking off things that have held us back. And sing, whether in the mountain or the valley.
We hope this message encouraged or perhaps even challenged you in your Christian faith. Our pastors meet regularly with people to pray and support them, and we extend this invitation to you. Please let us know if we can contact you to offer support. Simply call the office or visit nexuschurch.com.au.